is our Lord, the glory of God the Father. Thank you, Lord, because of Jesus being our Lord and Savior, we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, but whole things become new. And God, we thank you, Lord, it's our nation. You said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, given thanks, be made for him authority over us. So, Father God, we thank for our president, vice president, senators, and congressmen, the legislators, the Supreme Court judges, governors, mayors, police officers, the armed forces, the FBI, the CIA, the DHS. God, we claim your salvation, deliverance, and protection, and they hearken diligently to the voice of the word of God. We thank the Lord for leaders around the world, nation world, that every nation has the gospel preached as a witness, then it should come. That every nation, Lord, is receptive, Lord, and open up their borders, Lord, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God, we thank for all those laborers out there, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue arise against them in judgment thou shalt condemn. I thank you, Lord, for anointing them, equip them, do the work, Lord Jesus Christ. That the gospel goes forth, Lord, unhindered throughout this whole world. And God, I thank you for anointing me tonight, that I'll be able to say and do what you have me say and do. Thank you, Lord, for giving me utterance, Holy Ghost. And I pray for all of us, Lord, as we hear your word, and hear from the Holy Ghost, we'll go forth, me come, do what you word, and let the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. All right, let's confess this together. God, I thank you that I have a Bible. It's the holy written word of God. And I believe that I am what your word says I am. And I can do what your word says I can do. So I thank you, Lord, for revealing to me your written word in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, let's open our Bibles over here to the Gospel of Mark. And we'll start here in Mark chapter 16. Now let's hear what Jesus said here in verse 15 and verse 16. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now notice here the emphasis is on the believing. You'll notice here that verse 15 said, to go in all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel's good news to the lost person that Jesus is Lord and took their sins. That verse 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The next part says, but he that believeth not. Notice it doesn't say, but he that believeth not is not baptized. The emphasis is on the believing. Remember the thief on the cross, one of them believed that Jesus was Lord. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. You know, people before Jesus came was water baptized. But when they got water baptized, they weren't born again. But when you receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you become born again. The Bible says you become a new creature in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And everyone in this world that has an opportunity to receive Jesus, Lord and Savior, and doesn't, then they pass up their opportunity to become born again. And so it's important that you pray for people, their eyes be opened up. You know, here in 2 Corinthians, this is why you want to pray, in 2 Corinthians, and intercede for people, chapter 4, now the scripture says in verse 3 and 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the image of God, should shine unto them. Now notice here that Satan, he's the god of this world. Some translations say the devil there, or Satan. And he blinds people's minds. See, when you're trying to tell somebody Jesus and they're not receptive, the reason is because Satan has blinded their minds. And they're darkened to the gospel. The entrance of God's word brings light. And so if you know people, and you do, that's not saved, then you want to pray for them. I mean, maybe you've got some friend that goes to church, but they never talk about Jesus. That's a pretty good indication that they're not born again. You have to realize this, there's nothing more important than being born again, receiving Jesus, your Lord and Savior. And you don't want to give people a pass just because, you know, you like them and they're a good person, they like you and they're good to you and they're your mom, they're your grandma, you know. A lot of grandmas went to hell. A lot of grandpas went to hell. A lot of mothers went to hell. All because people were intimidated or afraid to say anything to them because they just assumed because they were a good person. But Jesus says there's none good. No, not one. So you can't be good enough long enough and get into heaven. Otherwise, Jesus would have never came. And so here in Ephesians, just over your right a few pages, in Ephesians here, chapter 2. Now, the Scripture says here in verse 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you could work your way in to salvation or to heaven, then you could take the credit. But you can't have your sins forgiven by doing good works. And see, people pride themselves in doing good works. That, you know, when they do good works, they feel good about themselves. And that's why people do things. People today are very interested like in saving the planet, so they recycle. They drive a small car. And they feel good about doing this. Because they feel like they're doing something to help save the polar bears or help save this planet. But our message as the church, the body of Christ, is to preach the gospel. You're not going to be able to save this planet. Now, you know, you should be a good steward of it. But this planet is perishing. The Bible says it is. And so what we're trying to do as believers is get the gospel out. And, you know, this will become an emergency situation in your heart, in your spirit, man, to reach people the gospel. Because people flounder their lives away. They have an opportunity to receive Jesus and don't think that's important, the way they treat it, by their actions. And so you need to talk to them about Jesus. It's a very uncomfortable situation. There's nothing more uncomfortable than for a person that's not saved, for someone else to bring up Jesus to them. And so they'll begin to tell you about what they do that's good. I know I did. I tell people the witness to me. And so you want to make sure that, you know, you don't let them play you out. Because you can't be saved by being good. Your righteousness, as the Bible says, is filthy rags. So people, they'll pride themselves into doing things. Churches will even do that. There's churches right here in New England that are proud because they have a cello concerto. And that they have, recycled oil and bring your old batteries in on a certain day and donate blood. The Red Cross is going to be here on a certain day. And you need to donate some blood because you do that, then you're going to help the community. I'm not interested in helping the community. I'm interested in getting the gospel out. Anything else goes way down the list. Because you're only alive so long to reach people. Every single person that does not confess Jesus, Lord and Savior, will go to hell. And so you want to make sure that when you confess Him, you confess with your heart, not your head. You can tell when people talk about Jesus if they know Him or not. You know, I've had people talk about people that I knew, and I could tell they didn't know Him. I've said to people, apparently you don't know them, because, you know, you do that again, they're going to hit you. You do that to that dog again, it's going to bite you. Well, when people talk about God, you can tell just by the way they talk, they don't know Him personally. They don't talk the Word. And Jesus said, go in all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So for people to say, well, I just believe there's just many ways to God. But there isn't many ways. That's a lie. That's preposterous. There's only one way. Jesus is the only one that shed His blood, that was sinless blood for humanity. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have lasting life. Jesus didn't come to condemn. You're already condemned when you're born in this world. But when you receive Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, you're receiving the pardon of your sin. Jesus paid that price for you, for the world. But you want to look at this way, He did it for me. He's got to become your Lord, your Savior. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You should know right away the person you work with, your parents, your children, if they're saved or not. This isn't something that you just ignore. This is so crucial. Because they could drop dead any moment or get killed any moment. And so you don't compromise. You never leave Jesus at the door. You know, if people are going to hang around you, they need to hang around your Jesus. And you're not ashamed of the gospel. You know, over here in the book of Romans, chapter 1, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said this in verse 14. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and unwise. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Now, notice what he was. He was ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. So first in verse 14, he said, I'm a debtor. You ever confess you owe no man anything but love one another? You are a debtor. You owe the salvation message to tell someone else. Freely receive, freely give. And God's going to want you. He's already said, go ye. So unless he tells you something else, he's expecting you to tell someone. And it may be uncomfortable to you, but that's tough. When you're around your relatives, you want to talk about Jesus. I mean, if you're married, you don't leave your spouse somewhere and go over your relatives. No, you talk about your children. You talk about your wife, your husband. You talk about Jesus. He dwells within you. He's there to lead you and guide you. And you say, well, I love my children. Then you need to tell them about Jesus. You should have done this a long time ago. And you need to let them know that they're going to go to hell if they don't have Jesus. They can't go to heaven because you are. They have to become born again. I'm not going to heaven because I preached the gospel. I had to receive Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Preaching the gospel is just my calling. But Paul said here, I'm a debtor, I'm ready. And verse 16 said, I'm not ashamed. I'm a debtor, I'm ready, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and it was, and also the Greek. That's the rest of us. The Jews rejected it. It was a stumbling block to them. So it's the gospel. I'm ready. I'm a debtor. I'm ready. I'm not ashamed. The reason people don't say stuff is they're ashamed. They're embarrassed. They don't want to say something about Jesus. And it becomes, you know, it's becoming more critical, more persecutions rising up over about Jesus. Because you live in a world that does not want Jesus. You live around people that don't want Jesus mentioned. They don't want sin mentioned. They don't want hell mentioned. They don't want Jesus mentioned. The reason Jesus came is because there's a place called hell. It was originally created for the fall of the angels. For the ones that rebelled. A spirit being is going to live and exist forever. They're not going to be deleted and just disappear. They're going to go somewhere. When a person leaves their body, they go somewhere. Their body goes back to dust of the earth. But their spirit, the real them, goes somewhere. And so you want to realize that, you know, you're going to exist forever somewhere. It's what you do for God right now. It's what's going to last. And you want to serve God. You want to do all you can to pray for people every day and intercede for people every day that their eyes understand and be enlightened. And so sin, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. What Jesus did when he went to cross for mankind is for every mankind. And so, you know, you want to keep yourself prepared, keep yourself prayed up, have scriptures memorized, have your Bible highlighted for scriptures about salvation, to get, you know, to take people over to Romans and show them scripture from the book of Romans. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 3, in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, everyone has sinned. Sin was passed on to mankind. And so they need to see. Sometimes you have to show people they're lost before you can get them saved. That they need a Savior. That they need to receive Jesus, the Lord and Savior. Because what happens, people, they'll hide in church. And they'll go to church, you know, and become a church member and get water baptized. But never make a real public confession that Jesus is their Lord. See, you don't want to make this easy on people. You want to find out from the person. Have you ever asked Jesus in your heart? Are you saved? Are you born again? They're going to say usually, yeah. What's good? Praise the Lord. How'd that happen? Have what happened? How'd you get saved? Have them tell you. I've asked people that's saved, people I had to deal business with. And they said, yes. I said, how'd you get saved? And they got mad. you know, pass the phone on to someone else. Well, if you're saved, why are you mad to tell your testimony? What's the issue here? You want to be ready to give your testimony. He said he was ready. I'm ready. You're hoping someone will ask you how you got saved. Because, you know, they'll say, yeah, I'm saved. You know, and how many times we had prayer requests in church? And every single prayer request, I always ask the question, are they saved? You ever hear that? And most of you pause. That's not good. That really ticks me off. You should know right away the person you're praying for, unless you don't know them, if they're saved or not. Whether it's your husband, your son, your aunt, your uncle. But see, you don't want to be that way. You want to think, well, maybe they're a good person, you know, and I don't want to judge them, you know, and maybe they are okay. No. You're going to know them by their fruits. Someone doesn't talk about Jesus, they don't know Jesus. Because out of the bunts are at the mouth will speak. And you know something? If this is a problem, this is your problem. Because you live in the world, they want you to shut your mouth. And you're going to have to speak up more and more all the time. Because Jesus needs to be represented. You live in a nation where they don't want you saying about Jesus in school. They took prayer out of school. They took Bible reading out of school. They do all they can to take Jesus out of school. This is one book that makes people so uncomfortable. Wherever you take this book, the Bible, and you lay it down somewhere, just lay this on your desk at the office and people will get upset about it. Put scripture on your machinery and people don't like it. Talk about Jesus, people hate it. You cannot be a friend with the world and love God. You can't love God and be a friend of the world. You're not a friend with the world. You're passing through this world. Everyone that's ever been born, the billions of people that's been born on this earth, they've all passed through. You're going to go through it too. You're going through it right now. And so you want to receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior, as you go through this life. You want to become saved, become born again. I didn't hear this in church. The church I grew up never said this. They never told me one time, you must be born again. You must be saved. They never said one thing to me about hell. They never told me, you have to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Never heard that one time. I got pretty good memory. I can name all my teachers, all the kids I went to school with. I can tell you the room numbers, the classes I had. So I never heard these things. I had to go to another church to hear about this. And then I went back to my old church and told people I got saved last week at another church, and they told me I didn't need to do this. I was already okay. Sick people, man. This is what Satan does. And people are blinded. They've drank the Kool-Aid, so to speak. They're actually blind because of Satan. They actually think that when they go to a funeral, Harold was a good man, and he's went on his reward, and he's fishing with his uncle because they always like the fish. You hear stuff like this. I went to a funeral, you know, and the lady told me that she put her husband's or her dad's hunting license in a coffin because he's hunting now. Just ridiculous, stupid things that set up funeral. And now they want everybody to say something at funeral. They want you to vent and get this all. This is good. This is the only one, and the pastor, the minister will pass the microphone around to people. There's something you want to say, yes, you know, I just always knew him, and he always wanted he had the cleanest car. And you just want to give, you just. Just out of respect to Jesus Christ, someone needs to get up and say something and tell the rest of these people off. The people in the Bible were persecuted to death because they stood for Jesus. All these words you've got, they died to give them to you. But you're better than them, aren't you? You're going to lose friends. You should not have your old friends. The one of the most dumbest things about Facebook is people is going to look up their old friends. That is something your head wants to do. You're not usually getting this in your spirit. You're going someplace that God's probably eliminated most of the people that you're ever around with in your life, but because your head starts wondering about them, you're going to go dig them up somewhere and see if you can find them and then see if you can bond with them, and you're going to find out you've got nothing in common. They don't want Jesus. They don't want you talking about Jesus. And don't tell me you looked them up just to find out if they were saved or not. Your head kept, you didn't pick this up in your spirit. You picked this up in your head. Your head gets curious. Your head starts thinking. It doesn't have anything to do, so it starts thinking about something to do. Well, grab a hold of your head's ears and get it focused on God's Word and start hearing it and get your eyes on God's Word. And all people are concerned about other people's feelings and other people's comments. I don't care about your feelings, and I don't want your comments. But people, that's why people get on Facebook. They want to hear about everybody. They check every 2 hours, see what the comment was about what I posted. Get a life. These are people that's unemployed and such losers. You know, work 20 hours a week. That's not a job. People need to hear the gospel. That's up to you to get it out there. Jesus already said, go ye, not wait ye, not set ye. You're concerned about other people's feelings. The gospel is offensive. It's a sharper two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. People don't like hearing it. They'd rather go hide in some dead Presbyterian church or Lutheran church where they know they're not going to hear anything about Jesus Christ and about sin and about hell. They'll hear about Jesus. He's a wonderful person. That's about it. But they're not going to hear that you've got to be saved, that you've got to become born again. And is there anybody here today who wants to become born again? Because they think they already have, because they joined the Lutheran church, because they got water baptized. And you're called to preach the gospel. You know, Martin Luther got a revelation from God that you're saved by grace, through faith, not of works. So they kicked him out of the church. Well, it started out, you know, a church on fire for God. And you're to preach the gospel. That's what ministers do, is build up the body of Christ so they'll go do the work of God. To cause people to go out and witness, you know. I don't know who in the world ever gave Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson or these people their reverent names. But these aren't people that's known for preaching the gospel. That's an offense to the gospel. Because someone calls you a pastor, calls you a bishop, or calls you with some title. These people want titles like this for pride. These aren't people that's promoting the gospel. Someone needs to tell these people off. That title doesn't mean nothing. It's the anointing of God upon the person's life. But see, people, they want a title. They want to go to a church and they're a pastor. Well, do you pastor church? Then you're not a pastor. Have you started churches? Then you're not an apostle. You travel around, preach, and do the work like Philip the Evangelist did? If you do, then you're an evangelist. But people, they dosed out those titles to people in the church to give them a title because they just, you know, these services that you go to are pathetic because it's all people all dressed up, wanting to come like they're so important. They got some certificate from their Bible school. They got some title that someone gave them. And they'll strut around with this thing. It's just ridiculous how people strut around with all this pride about they think there's somebody in church. I hated it when I was a kid when I had to usher. You cannot put choir robes on most people without it affecting their head. And you can't give most people, get set on the platform those king and queen chairs. Most of these places that were built with these used emphasis, you can't even talk in there without it echoing. It wasn't built to preach in. It was built to impress people how beautiful it is and intimidate people that these people that stand up here are better than the rest of you. I grew up in that. If you're a preacher, go preach. Get out of politics. Because you can't do both. This one thing I do. That's how important the gospel is. There's nothing more important than giving your life and getting the gospel out. People are going to persecute you. They're going to say all manner of evil about you. They're going to call you names. Or, you know, they stone these people. They cut their heads off. All to get the gospel out. And they got persecuted in the book of Acts. They prayed for more boldness in Acts chapter 4. They're already persecuted for the boldness, and now they're praying for more boldness. Boldness isn't standing up in the restaurant and yelling, praise the Lord. Boldness is doing what you know from your spirit God wants you to do and obeying God. And people need to learn as believers that I don't know why you have to tell people this. No one had to tell me this. When I got born again, I knew everybody that I knew was not saved. I mean, it's just like a spiritual transvestite with most people. Because someone goes to church because they're a minister doesn't mean anything. What's inside of them? Have they had Jesus Christ to come in their heart? And see, when that devil gets into people, he's uncomfortable when he's around the gospel. He doesn't want to hear the word. He doesn't want to be around the anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And as soon as someone starts backsliding, as soon as someone starts living in sin, they don't want to be around the anointing. They want someone to tickle their ears and tell them they're okay. And you know, God loves you just the way you are. And we know we all got our own little problems, you know. And you know, there's none of us perfect. Your spirit man better be perfect. Because it was washed by the blood of Jesus and sealed by the Holy Spirit. But people don't look at this. They play games in church. I can't tell you how much I hate this stuff. Because more people go to hell because they go to church, either regularly or irregularly, and they get a pass from people. They hide in church. And they get, you know, the people just think, well, that's, you know, he went to church. She went to church. She's a member. She, you know, she loved the Lord. She carried her Bible wherever she went. Well, the devil can quote the Bible. What's that got to do with this? It's just Jesus in your heart. You know, Jesus in your heart, they're just people you don't want to hang around with. Because you know they don't want anything to do with Jesus. You try to minister to people, but they're not your friends. There's no one that has 600 friends. Are you crazy? No one has 600 friends. You may have one or two that will pray for you and stand with you and believe God for you, but you call him a friend doesn't make him a friend. But that makes you feel good. And this is how twisted this got, because it's people wasting time in something they could be doing for God. I have more respect for someone that gets caught up into pornography than people that socialize through Facebook and the internet just to bond with one another and get in this, not even know that it's wrong. And I meant what I said. Because when you get into other stuff, you know what you're doing is wrong. And people get caught up in this, you know. And it sweeps through the schools. Instead of revival for God, you've got people that spending all their time burning up their brains with no enthusiasm and no effort to go out and do something to change this world because they got addicted to the internet. And everything else went along with it. They take their cell phone wherever they go, and they can't keep from texting. They absolutely cannot lay their phone down and keep from texting. They've got to a place that they just can't stand a line without texting. You know, when they first came out, you got them because you had kids. You want to make sure your kids get a hold of you. So you get this cell phone. Or, you know, got to hear from mom. You got to hear from dad. Or, you know, grandma's about ready to pass. Or, you know, your job that you've got, they told you you've got to have a cell phone. We used to have pages, but now you got to have a cell phone. And that's why you had them. Oh, but no. Now, who'd ever thought the people would want to type? I had Mrs. Palmer for typing. The last thing I was looking for when I got out of her class is, let's do more typing. That was like 35 words a minute. Because they take off words when you misspell a word or mistype one. Otherwise, it'd probably been, you know, I don't know. But who? I never thought you'd have got people to type. I didn't think you people go in reverse. It's a waste of time. And now you got addicted and you cannot leave it alone. Addictions come and they take you away from Jesus. No matter what kind of addictions they are. The devil will play with your brain all the time. You don't want anybody going to hell. You need to tell them about Jesus. You want to do everything you can to pray and intercede for them that they come to Jesus and they don't go to hell. This is why I got saved. I didn't want to go to hell. I went to a church and they preached the salvation message and the pastor gave this altar call. I'm going to ask again. There's somebody here. You know, place is packed. They had a balcony. It was, the place is illegally packed. They had pews. Pews, you can get more people in pews you can in chairs. I got saved. I wrote saved on everything. Every check I signed saved. I had embroidered on my shirts, saved. People asked me, well, what saved mean? I'd remind myself that I was saved. I'd praise God that I got saved. I'm thrilled. You used to sing a song, if you're saved and you're happy, say amen. All I knew was the word saved. I didn't know any scripture. I got saved. I got saved. I thank God I got saved. Like one fellow said, I could hug a tree. I got so thrilled that I got saved. Lived in sin so long, looking for a way out. Jesus is the way out. You're saved by the blood of Jesus. Jesus is your Lord. Confess Him as your Lord. That if thou, wherefore God has highly exalted Him and given Him, Jesus, the name is above every name. The name of Jesus is above every name, in heaven, in earth, and beneath the earth. That right there would tick the devil off, Satan. His names are not above it. The only ones he rules, the people that's underneath him, in his kingdom, and the people he's got trapped in his kingdom, and in hell. But the name of Jesus is above every name. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so I just go out in front of bars and stand there and wait for people to come out and tell them about Jesus. I stand in front of the theaters when Exorcist movie came out, follow people in their car. These people like to turn white from fear. You know what I mean by that saying? Fear, you can see it in their face. There is a supernatural power that gets into people called demon spirits. And they cause people to do things that the people do. When those people say that God told me to kill his wife or whatever, they're right. Little g, the God of this world told them this. And they obeyed it. What they told the judge was the truth. The judge interpreted it the wrong way. He thinks they mean God of the Father, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of creation. But no, it's the God of this world who blinds the minds of them, least the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Satan talks to all of us. He talked to Jesus Christ. He talks to you and I constantly. He comes to our mind. He comes to our thoughts. Always bringing thoughts. Worry, fear, doubt, unbelief, division, discord, hate, ill feelings. Go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Just constantly throw stuff at you, try to get a stick. And you got to keep countering him with the word of God in the name of Jesus and keep talking to your brain and talking to your brain and talking to your brain. I mean, thank God when you get to be a Jesus, you won't have to do this anymore. There'll be no devil to resist. Huh? Heard this guy one time, he went to heaven. You know, the Lord took him up, I guess. And he said, you know, he said, it was a few moments, because, you know, this is like eternity. It's a few moments I realized, you know, why do I feel so good? He said, I realize I don't feel my body. I don't have anything dragging me back. I don't feel any pain or discomfort or anything. There's just so much freedom. And then, you know, I came back in my body. I'm back to being, you know, here. Well, you see now, they tell us gravity holds us to this earth. Who knows? If it wasn't for gravity, you may be 6'5". This body you live in is just an earth suit. When you leave your body, you go be Jesus. This isn't a fairy tale. This actually will happen. And the Bible's over here in the book of Luke. Chapter 16, beginning in verse 19. Jesus said, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed the crumbs that fell at the rich man's table. More of the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels of Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being tormented, and seeing Abraham afar off in Lazarus' bosom. So this guy in hell recognizes who Lazarus is. So you're going to recognize, you're going to know things. It is your mind's just going to be blank. See, you have this idea you're going to be there with your friends and hang out. You don't read he's hanging out with his friends. In fact, this guy knows his brothers are coming here. He wants someone to go to them to stop his brothers from coming to this place of torments, torments, torments. You ever been tormented by the devil? Or it's just been me and Bird. The devil's a tormentor. Torments you constantly. Always bringing something to torment you. Thoughts, feelings, trying to torment you. Like, you know, some person poking a rat in a cage. When I was a little kid there, with this barrel, and they had two big snapping turtles in it, like those gator turtles. And so I'm about 3 or 4 years old, and I'd stick a stick in there and see, you know, how big a stick you could put in there that they could snap in two. And those turtles gave me a look, you know, you get me out of this, we'll see who's going to poke who. You know, I was bad news as long as they were inside that barrel. It's the blood of Jesus, the protection, the divine protection from Satan eliminating you anyway. God, all he's done your whole life is try to protect you from Satan. So that's why he doesn't want us to sin and get in disobedience, so he can protect us from the curse of this world that Jesus redeemed us from. And people, bless their hearts. There may not be one born-again professor at Harvard University or Yale University. Now think about this. And people pride themselves putting some college sticker on the back of their car. They want the rest of us to know. You're from some other country. You may not know that when you come here. But you'll be following some car, and you'll notice it's got 2 or 3 stickers on the back window. They got a Volvo or, you know, some kind of snobbish car. And they put these stickers on the back. I preached a message one time at Farmington Marriott, Sobs and Snobs. Pretty good, huh? So, all that made sense. These women sat there like they were selling pogo sticks, man. They were so ticked up. Sat there, and they didn't have a Bible among them. They'd heard my radio program or saw my TV program or whatever, and came to the meeting, you know, and sat there just as mad as can be, and I just made them madder and poked them more. Boy, they got home as soon as they could, and faxed the ministry just to tell me off. That's the only way they could get to me. They'd like to stone you. You should be so much that people want to stone you. I mean, when the church leaves, people will be high-fiving themselves. They'll be glad we're out of here. Because we're the salt. We preserve. We hold back the judgment. Why we're here. And so they, you know, we leave. We're the people that's doing intercessory prayer. We're the ones that's doing an interference. Peradventure God, there be 50 righteous. Jesus took your sins, but there is the judgment of God. You can't delete it from the Bible. You can accept the judgment Jesus bore for you or suffer the consequences. And so people gamble. They're playing worse than Russian roulette with their spiritual life when they have an opportunity to be saved and pass it up. Thinking, you know, I can go a little bit further in sin. We used to have evangelists. We probably don't even have any evangelists left in America. But we used to have hundreds and thousands of them in the 40s and 50s. They went around preaching tents meetings. And they preach evangelistic sermons like we're talking about tonight. They talk about hell and sin and that you need Jesus. Your children need to know about hell. They need to know about sin. Some people shudder the thought that their children are going to hell. Their parents went to hell. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to think about it. Of course, the devil does want you to think about it. He wants you to tell him that he'll tell you they're okay. Well, I don't know what they did before they left. I mean, there was a guy in my bed next to me, you know, and his wife, or no one knows, he got saved. He died when I was in the hospital as a teenager. I don't know if anybody knew he got saved except my brother. So people can't get saved that way. You don't know what happened. But you know what we're talking about, denying. They were a good person. You know, that means they were good to you. And that you liked the way they treated other people that you liked. And the Bible says here about this. In verse 22 of the 16th chapter of Luke. And it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels of Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried in hell, lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus' bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. This is not hypothetically speaking. Jesus said, these were certain people that did this. They actually died, went to hell, and went to heaven, went to Abraham's bosom. But Abraham said, Son, look at this part. Remember that thou in thy lifetime received good things. I never heard this in church that I grew up in. Never did I ever read anything about hell. Why? Well, that'd make people uncomfortable. They'd have a board meeting over it. Well, these are not our church. Why? Because we do things. We help the community. See, people can't get in their mind that somebody that does the work like Mother Teresa could possibly die and go to hell. Well, they became a saint. And maybe she did. God bless her. I've had people tell me that we're sinners. Well, you're okay because you're a minister. Well, you're a man of the cloth. I said, that has nothing to do with me getting to heaven. I've got to have Jesus in my heart. These aren't my rules. I'm just trying to go by them. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be go thereat. And so people, they'll dodge this as long as they can to stay away from the gospel. God needs to raise up people that preach the gospel in the streets, in the communities, and shout it from the housetop. It's got to be shouted out. People have to hear it. You used to have evangelists come and set up tent meetings, but since they had the circus fire in Hartford, God only knows how many years ago, then they started rules and regulations on gospel tents, not wedding tents, not bar mitzvahs tents. Evangelists came to Hartford one time and set up his tent, and they turned the power off at 8 o'clock in the evening. Just about the time all the drug people are coming out to hear what's being said, and all the drunks and alcoholics and everybody else that lives out on the streets were starting to come around, they cut the power so you couldn't hear him preach. Said, well, you know, it's our laws. In New York City, you got a permit to do basically everything. And all these white congregational Presbyterian churches that think they're so snobby and better than everybody else because they're intellectual and they got the little intellectual laugh. The one thing that came out of slavery that probably helped people was most African Americans that were brought here got born again and ended up going to heaven. And the white people that had them didn't. They're out there working in the fields singing praises to God and singing gospel songs while they're picking cotton. Went through hell in this life and ended up going to heaven. Like this guy here that died with all these sores. Looks like God got through anyway, didn't he? It's the whole thing to stop the gospel. And there'll be all kinds of organizations and groups that do anything except promote Jesus. And you'll get sucked into that and think it's okay. All these groups that people join, it's got their secret handshakes and secret promises and secret vows. And people think that this is so secret about all this stuff. These things would be revealed. They're just a place to drink. The Lions Club, the Knights of Columbus, the Moose, the Elks, the Lions Club. And if I didn't mention yours, I meant to mention it. It's a place for someone to go get drunk like the VFW Hall. I'm a vet. Well, good for you. I've got a friend's a veterinarian, so what are we talking about here? It's the Ryans. We help burn children. Oh, well, see, you can't touch that then. The Masons, well, we do this. We don't even know what we do. God. And there'll be people that spend their whole life trying to find out what the secret handshake is. They're conspiracy people. They'll spend their whole life trying to find something out that. There's people spend their whole life trying to disprove the Bible. Wasting their life. You get born again, all of a sudden you become aware of all your friends, all your relatives that doesn't know Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Now that becomes a situation where you can't sleep at night. Well, I can. Well, then something's wrong with you. You got somebody that's not saved and you can sleep like you're sawing logs. You got a problem. It's called you being selfish. You've got to get your butt out of bed and intercede for these people so the light of the Lord's glorious gospel will shine unto them. How in the world can you sleep and be comfortable when you got kids going to hell? I mean, this is beyond my explanation. I got to understand this. Well, I've committed him to the Lord, and whenever he's ready, he'll just you. I just trust he's going to do something. Oh, yeah? Well, Jesus prayed all night long. Now you're above your master. You take Scripture and you intercede. You don't become self-absorbed that you lie to yourself and let the devil lie to you and tell you they're going to be okay. They're not going to be okay if you don't pray. If you don't intercede, you got to look at this whole thing. This whole thing's up to me. If it's to be, it's up to me to intercede and pray. God's done all he's going to do, so to speak. He works in line with your prayer. The harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, send forward laborers. You keep praying. How about fasting? Well, now that you brought this up, let's talk about this fasting. How many days a week do you not eat? That you put time in prayer. It's prayer and fasting. And you want to be confessed, people say in Jesus' name, I can do all things through Christ, strengthen me. That you don't eat nothing, you take that time, you'd eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you pray. You read your Bible and you pray. You just drink water, you don't drink anything else. You can live a fasted life. Get to a place you can fast 3 days a week. Start out where you're at. And add to it. And begin to fast and pray. Your old concern is that the rapture is getting ready to take place. This is like almost panic-stricken to you that you're trying to get everybody on board. Because this ark is loading up, and one day the door is going to be shut. As it was in the day of Noah. They were eating and drinking and giving in marriage. And this has got to be on your mind more than carpet land was on my mind. So I started fasting. I didn't do any of this because I'm real spiritual. I got hungry. I had relatives say, well, he doesn't get hungry. That's why he does it. Folks, I'm about ready to put salt on a tube before. I've eaten stuff that most people in this country would never eat anyway. How many times I've eaten pizza at Farm Aid to Marriott the people put out their door? They didn't finish it. And they put a cigarette out on top of it, and I ate around it. It's pretty good pizza. A lady one time in Connecticut said, well, there's germs. I would never do that. That's what Germany said. And they licked sewers when Russia invaded. Our GIs gave them our K rations. Americans always give, you know. We blow you up and go rebuild you and give you your food. Our conscience bothers us. We get mad, and you know, the best thing to do is get America mad at you, because we'll do something to you, then spend the rest of our life repaying you. You know, pride. That damnable pride. Humble yourself, lift the mighty hand of God. Look over here at James. Hold your finger there in Luke. This guy had fared sumptuously. He was proud. In James here, chapter 4, the Bible says here in verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. You want more grace? Apparently you can get more. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. One double-minded. One way you can do this is fast. Fasting humbles you. It gets you more sensitive to the Spirit of God. As you put the flesh under, you don't eat. You take that time, you'd eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you put that time in prayer and in your Bible. You proclaim the fast. You just open your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, 17, 18, and you read those scriptures and you say, Lord, I proclaim this fast in the name of Jesus. You know, start, unless God tells you something, start out with something like a day. I mean, if you're on medication, come on, then you're going to have to talk, you know, disclaimer on this. But at least you could pray, Lord, you know, can you work this out that I get to the place I can fast? That's, in other words, your heart's that. Now, some people's on medication, bless their hearts, they got to eat 3 or 4 times a day. We're not talking about those dear souls. You got it? Let's just have it in your heart then. I thank you, Lord, for working out that I can. And meanwhile, I'm going to read my Bible and pray morning, noon, and night, right? God sees that. He sees what you do with your heart. He knows what you can do and what you can't do. You can't live like somebody else. But have it in your heart. I'd like to go 40 days, wouldn't you? That'd be nice, huh? Oh, yeah, hallelujah. We just pray a revival. Revivals happen through fasting and praying. Family, loved ones, you get answers to problems in fasting and praying, right? God will speak to you, let you know something. Flesh doesn't like it. Y'all got flesh? I went grocery shopping the first time I fasted. Floated a check. You could float checks then, you know, like for 3 days before they got cleared. Remember the days that you could float a check before they cleared it? That was my tithe checks. Every check. Rent check, you know, taxes. Praise the Lord. And then a guy I knew, a friend of mine, or actually worked in the ministry, said, you know, now, coming, whatever, let's say January, coming January, the checks clear overnight. I go, what? 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 Wait, what? You know, he's talking to somebody else or something. Wait, what did you just say? Yeah, Brother Rich, you know the checks will come January 15th, they'll clear overnight. Why would they do that? I've lived all the, ever since I had a checking account, I lived on floated checks. They're going to clear what? How could I live? I didn't say nothing, but how am I going to live? I've always lived on floated checks. I wrote them at Stop and Shop, and they just believed God, they're not going to cash them until Monday or Tuesday. And I knew that Jen that worked there, and she'd see to it that maybe she held it back a little bit. Well, I always went to Fitzgerald's and wrote a check, and hopefully, when do you deposit these? You know, I always ask people, when do you deposit them? I started learning, okay, they don't deposit theirs till like halfway through the month. They are my friend. And then my brother says to me one day, well, he's talking about, you know, that comes up a certain date, you know, like January 15th, you know, they're going to clear checks, all banks are clear checks overnight. What? I actually couldn't think I could live. You know what I mean. How am I? I got to change my whole life. How am I going to make it? I've just, ever since I've been a Christian, I've floated checks. All my offering checks are floated. Pastor Philip could tell you, I had a $10,000 check balance. They cashed it too soon to missionaries. The last time it took a month to clear in India. The next year, it cleared like in a few days. He comes to me, Brother Jesse, the check balance. Phil literally said, I watched Brother Rich. He didn't eat for days. I never said anything. Oh, man, I don't remember anything else that went on. I'm praying because I got a $10,000 check. It took me a year to get that check paid off. A year. Paying $11,000 back. Huh. Something happened, man. We're having meetings, man. All kinds of meetings. And that check bounced. I'd already bought all, they did. Had already bought all the food for the people and stuff to feed them. Don't you like feeding people? That's a blessing, isn't it? Huh? Feeding people that could really use food? What a blessing. Buy people clothing. Get them a tape player, you know? I mean, just, it's such a blessing to be a blessing to people, isn't it? I mean, you're Christian, you just love giving. You want to pray, you want to fast, you want to give. You know, we may not be the best people in the world. We may not have been some of the best people in the body of Christ at fasting or giving or praying or walking to love, but boy, you sure want to, don't you? Right? That's great. You want to. I've had the Lord deal with me, son. I saw that you wanted to. I saw that you really wanted to do that. And I put it down for your credit that you wanted to. I mean, I've heard ministers talk about they went on a 21-day fast, didn't do nothing except drink water. That's pretty good. I've heard people that just prayed, you know, nonstop for a period of time, interceding for someone. Boy, they got me beat. But I'd sure like to do that, you know. Wouldn't want to have to do it, but I'd sure like to do it. You don't want to do it. Yeah, I went to my first prayer meeting, all-night prayer meeting. After about 15 or 20 minutes of praying, I ran out of stuff to pray about. I was scared because I'm going to be here the rest of the night in this place. And these people are really praying. Oh, God. Now, that's 1 hour. 2 hours. Hang on, now we're at 8 o'clock. Hang on, my God. We got to go until tomorrow morning. Yeah, but I wanted to. Oh, yeah. I've been to graveyards, you know, wanted to raise the dead. I tried. This person died in 1863. Come up! It started there, you know. I just got born again. Okay. Oh, man. Well, let's praise the Lord, huh? Oh, yeah. Don't you believe God can do anything? Hey, man. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. People used to always say at my church where I got saved, he's zealous without knowledge. I didn't know what it meant. You know, it's like fornicator. He's a zealous without knowledge. He's a lesbian. You heard terms you don't know what it means. You just know it's bad, you know. No, it's just having that heart. You just want to. You know, you want to give. You want to go. You want to reach everybody, right? Just always keep that. Ticks all the other people that don't have that off because we want to. And they always have to, well, you just need to use common sense. Would you ever read in the Bible, use common sense? We need to lose our mind, get the mind of Christ, and receive the mind of Christ that he's given to us in Jesus' name. All you need to, I just believe you need to use common sense. You know, that's one thing about that. And you use common sense. Have you eaten? I got the devil talking to me about eating all the time, let alone, you know, somebody coming along, you know, you're trying to fast. I had a world-renowned preacher ask me to go out and eat when I was fasting. Fasting. I just chose not to eat today. We want to take you to lunch. And I sat there, you know, and they go, well, go ahead and get something off the menu. Go ahead. Go ahead and get something off the menu. His wife's looking at me. No, that's all right. Just keep that heart. You want to reach everybody. You want everybody to get saved. Just keep that. That's a good heart to have. That came from Jesus. Don't put yourself down. Past is past. Start today. Get you a list of names and start believing God these people are saved in Jesus' name. If you even question it, put their name on there. You're going to be glad throughout eternity that you did this in Jesus' name. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed for me after I got saved. Somebody's praying for me now. I mean, I don't know if someone's praying for me right now, but you know what I'm saying. It's prayer. Paul said, pray for me, right? Jesus is forever making intercession for us. It's so important. It means so much to God when you keep praying for people. No matter how they act, how they look, what they say about God, what they say about Jesus, what they say about the Bible, don't even pay attention to that in Jesus' name. I bind you, Satan, in Jesus' name. They're saved, Satan. You can't have them in Jesus' name. You can't have them in Jesus' name. And just walk the floor and praise God and lay in bed at night and just praise God and thank God. In Jesus' name, they're saved, they're delivered, they're saved in Jesus' name, they're saved, they're saved, they're saved, they're saved. When the devil says they're not, look at him, look at him, look in there. And what's the last time they talked to you? You haven't even seen them. They don't even talk to you. They don't even want to be around you. Satan, you're a liar in Jesus' name. They're serving Jesus in Jesus' name. They're serving Jesus in Jesus' name. If your loved one got saved and you never saw him again, you'd be kissing God's feet, so to speak, that they got saved and they're serving Jesus and living in Africa and building churches. That's how important it is to follow the Lord. They need you praying for them. We all need to pray for one another. Pray for people you like. Pray for people you don't like. Pray for people spitefully use you. Pray for people persecute you. Pray for people that you agree with and people you don't agree with. You pray and just keep praying in Jesus' name. Pray without ceasing. At all times, pray. Anywhere you can pray. Being on your knees, laying in bed, standing up, traveling, flying, wherever you're at, just talk to God all the time. How long do you pray? Like one person said, well, I talk to God all the time. In a grocery store, talk to him. I mean, you can talk to him about peaches and pears and everything else. Talk to him about lost souls. He needs you to just keep on talking. And keep thanking God and praising God and standing against Satan in Jesus' name. And God raised up evangelists. I always thought it'd be neat to have a booth in the summertime around some of the exits where they have the subways in New York City and put a sign up, need prayer. Let people come over the booth that need prayer and then find out where they stand with Jesus. I used to ask guys in jail, do you need prayer? And I found out you have to follow God for yourself. But I found a lot of people would come for prayer, had no intention of getting saved. They had no intention of receiving something from God. They needed prayer. And then tell them about Jesus. Pray with them. And tell them that Jesus is going to show you that he's alive. He's going to answer this prayer. You know, we know all the fundamental principles. You pray to God in Jesus' name. But just to show you, I've said to people that we're sinners, to prove to you that Jesus is alive, he's going to do this for you. I did that to Terry Wooten when he said it was impossible for his parents to get back together. And he was in college and his teachers, his professors told him there was no God. And so he'd tell me there was, you know, that he believed that way. Until one day he called up crying. This is a guy who carried a .357 with him in his glove box. Tom was the baddest guy I knew, and this guy was badder than Tom. He was Tom's friend, best friend. He called up one day crying. I didn't even recognize him first. It was Sunday morning, if I remember correctly. Wanted me to pray. Asked me to pray for his parents because they were leaving. They're splitting up. Crying. And over the phone, I said, is God's going to keep them together, whatever, and this just shows Jesus is alive. I hung that phone up after I got done. I thought, what in the world did you say that for? I didn't mean to say it. I'm a carpet layer, folks. I wasn't a preacher. I hung that phone up. About two weeks later or so, I was in a convenience store, and he came in, saw my van, came in looking for me because he knew that was my van. And I turned around from the cooler section there and looked, and there he was. Now, what are you going to do now? Because the thought came to you, you're the one that said to him, everything's going to be fine, their parents, because he swore up and down, it's not going to be fine. I'm telling you, Jesse, they're divorced. They're, nothing can put this together. He's crying hysterically, you know, for a guy. I said, Terry, I had to say this, man. I had to cast down fear to do it because the devil told me it didn't work. How's your parents? Oh, man, they're back together, doing great, better than ever. They've been married for years, see? He's like probably close to 30. And he's the one that when I come time to go to Bible school, he told me, you're not coming back here, Rich. God's going to do something. You know, use you. You know, he means, he's trying to be kind. But someday he will use me. Amen. So anyway, you got, you know, people like that. Someone come out of your mouth and you'll tell them. You know, you and I have got to believe the Bible. We got to stand, fight the good fight of faith. But sinners, you can prove to them that Jesus is alive. Be bold enough to pray for him in Jesus' name. And who knows? A word of God could come out your mouth, and you'll say things that later on your head says, what in the world did you say that for? It didn't come from your head. It didn't come from your flesh. You had no intention of saying it. It came out because the Spirit of God wanted to show him he loved him. How are we doing in the front row? Got the heat going on now? Hell beneath will meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead. The Bible says it's being expanded. We don't have anybody else going there. Not on our watch. When you intercede and pray. Pray for people every day. Claim and tell Satan you can't have them. My mom had four boys, and all four boys got born again after they left home. And then the parents got born again. So it can happen that way. You know, we didn't grow up in a born-again home. My grandma's prayer was all her kids get saved. Because they were already out of the house. She didn't get born again until she was like 40-something. So the devil said, well, you know, you've already raised your kids. They're already out the door. Right? He'll tell you all kinds of things. Intercede for your children. Grab that children prayer sheet back there. Pray for them. Get some scripture about praying for other people. Father, we pray tonight in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for saving us. In Jesus' name, we're born again, spirit-filled. Tongue-talking. Bible wagon. CD playing Christian person, right? On fire for God. Say, I've got zeal. I'm on fire for God. No one's going to hell on my watch. In Jesus' name. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many's going to be praying now? Get stirred up to pray for lost souls. He that wins souls is wise, the word says. Be a soul winner. Be a fisher of men.